Yay. Well, a couple things about that video. You did it on the dad that runs around naked. You didn't know Dave Fisher had that young of a daughter, did you? So, and with I'm just kidding. So, and with Ethan White there responding, there may have been some creative editing to just that part right there. Just want you kind of protecting Mario just a little bit, right? So, but happy Father's Day. Thanks for coming today. And I know that there are a lot of single parents. You're going it alone, moms. And so we are thankful to you too because you're filling both roles there. So God bless you and thanks so much. A number of months ago, we began to think about this day and, you know, what could we do that would just kind of set it apart? In the teaching series, you know, about how to resolve conflict. And next week, we'd be back into that. I really want to delve into the question, what about this judging thing? And do Christians ever judge? And how do we walk out in daily living Matthew 18? So we'll be back there next Sunday. But we want to do something that I think is really, really special for this day. And so we decided that we were going to invite kind of a special guest with us today, but someone that many of you know and many of you do not know. Pastor Al and Erica Munger came to Gateway back in 1956. Pastored this church for 32 years until his at least retirement from pastoring. He went on to do some other things. Pastor Al is the one that I credit for setting this church on a solid foundation. And you've heard me say this before, that we all stand on a platform built by somebody else. And that is no truer today, I think, that has ever been. The sacrifices that Pastor Al and Erica and their team made so that we could see God's work continue, I don't think that we know the extent of at all. And I'll tell you a little interesting thing that many of you don't know about right here, there's a pulpit, and it's about this big, and it's buried now, but we used to hit a button, it would rise up, and Pastor Al would stand behind this big old pulpit and preach the word. And I'll tell you what happened. Many, 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 many lives were changed. So many. And we invited Pastor Al Munger to be with us. He's pastor emeritus of Gateway here, and maybe you were here the day that we bestowed that honor upon him and giving thanks to God for all he's done. But he's going to come in just a moment to share whatever he wants to share. Because when you're in your 90s, you get to do whatever you want to do, right? And this morning in our early meeting, Pastor Al says to me, he says, "Now I don't want you to, don't talk me up." And I had to remind him, "Now I'm the lead pastor now, not you." But I remember just actually about a month or two ago, we were in a prayer meeting together, and Pastor Al had this request. He said, I'm becoming friends with some new neighbors of mine. Would you pray that God would open the doors to share the gospel with them?" And there's something there was just something inside me that just said, "I want to be that way. When I'm down the road that many years, God, just don't let me lose the passion for sharing the good news of the gospel." And I'm so excited for you to hear, Pastor. I've already heard it. Had so many people in the lobby said, "Thank you for inviting him here today." Pastor Al was a part of we do staff chapels on a regular basis. We bring the staff together here, at least on the Paulsville campus. And he shared, and I had numbers of staff afterwards say, I could have listened to him share all day. He just talked about what Jesus has done down through the years. And so would you just give a great big welcome to one of our own, Pastor Al Munger, as he comes up and just shares God's word, whatever he has on it.
Bless you, brother.
Thank you.
I'm not used to sitting down when I speak like this, but I give Pastor Tom a lot of credit for inviting this old 91-year-old geezer to come and talk to you people. And most of you, I don't know, because you came after I left. I left the church as pastor in 1988. Was that before you were born? But it's a privilege to be here, and I hope that we can honor all of the all of the fathers that are here this morning. A little girl asked her mommy, "Do fathers always snore?" Mommy said, "No, only when they're asleep." And the guy said, "I never mind my wife having the last word. In fact, I'm delighted when she gets to it." That's especially for dads this morning. So nice that you're here, so brave of you to come. I'm sure you didn't know I was going to be speaking, so that's why you're here. But let's have some fun. It was 1922. I think that was the first Father's Day of our country. I am honored to be with you fathers this morning. We have all had many wonderful Father Day memories, maybe some that weren't so good, and maybe a few that were kind of bad. I'm going to ask for the fathers that are perfect, if you'll all stand so we can recognize you. Oh, well, I'm sitting down. The word "all" is a very big word. It's a word that Paul used in Romans when he said, "All men." That's you and me. In fact, he said, "All men and women have sinned. We all fall short of God's glorious standard." But fortunately, we have a great Father, a Father that understands us, a Father that puts up with us. Billy Graham said, "A good father is one of the most unsung, unpraised, unnoticed, yet one of the most valuable assets of our society." And that's true. Dads are irreplaceable. And when kids don't have a dad, they're in trouble. Today we have a fatherless crisis. 63% of our youth suicides are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. Fatherless boys and girls are twice as likely to drop out of high school, twice as likely to end up in jail, four times more likely to need help for emotional problems, as reported by the U.S. Department of Health. Fatherlessness is a national tragedy. We've got too many men that have fathered children, but they're still focused on their job, their car, their golf, whatever they want to do, but they're not focused on their kids. And that leads to tragedy. Tragedy when kids grow up without hope, without direction, without moral values. They get into drugs. We've got teenagers, young teenagers, that are going around and shooting people. You read about it in the paper almost every week. These kids have no hope. They don't know that they're important. Nobody seems to care. They're into drugs and violence, theft, sex. Today's culture is tragic compared to what it was when I grew up. We lived in Kenmore when I was just a kid. And I would walk down with my mother to Mitchell's General Store to pick up some groceries. And one time I got in there and she was shopping and I found the candy bars and I slipped one in my pocket. We got home and I went out in the backyard, pulled out candy bar, was enjoying a Babe Ruth. Mother looked out the window. She came out. She said, "Where did you get that?" She took me by the ear and marched me 3 blocks back to Mitchell's General Store. I had to confess and pay the nickel. I have a hard time imagining that that would happen today. Today we have a culture where anything goes. Truth is what the individual believes that it is. Culture where nothing really counts. Everybody is doing it. There is no substitute for a good father. And you that are here this morning as fathers, I want to commend you. Your role, the impact you're going to have on your kids are major impacts. I can remember my dad. What a great man he was. There were 3 major impacts in my life. One, he taught me that I can do it. There are some kids who grow up and they shy away. They don't want to try. They don't have any confidence. They don't think they can do it. My dad said, "Son, you can do it. I believe in you." He trusted me. He taught me to use tools to repair, to build things. When I was 12 years old, he gave me my first camera. I've had cameras. He gave me many cameras since, but I've had cameras all of my life. Even today, I live in Crista Shores with my girlfriend. Well, she's been my girlfriend for 65 years. And I'm taking profiles, new profiles, of all our residents, over 130 residents, I've got to shoot and put on the board. Why do I do that? Because my dad taught me what to do with a camera. My dad programmed me. How did he program? Well, he instructed. He set an example. He said, "Watch what I do. You do that." And he taught me with his belt. I can remember my dad taking off his belt and saying, bend over. Wow. Dad like that today would probably be prosecuted for child abuse. But Dad taught me, and I appreciate that. He taught me forgiveness. My dad was forgiving. Did I need forgiveness? Oh, I could spend the rest of the morning tell you all of the mischief, the stuff that I got into. Now, I had a sister, Lorraine. She was towing the line for a student. She grew up to be a great secretary, had 16 ladies under her, general counsel, president. She was a straight arrow. I was just the opposite. I enjoyed trying to tackle something that was difficult, having adventure, having fun. I grew up as a fun-loving, adventure-loving kid, a selfie. Would you choose a guy like that to go in the ministry to be a pastor? No. No. Yet God made the choice. When I got out of the Air Force, started business college, God tapped me on the shoulder and said, forget it, I want you to go into the ministry and be a pastor. I said, oh no. If there was anything I wanted not to do was to be a minister. Because they didn't have any fun. They were always poor. And God might place me in a terrible place like Wolf Point, Montana, where there's no lakes or mountains or scenery or skiing or boating or, oh no. But I finally gave up and said, okay, God, if that's your choice, I'll do it. And I'll tell you, I could go on for an hour and tell you about the abundant life that God has given my girlfriend and me. I mean, it is unbelievable. We've had adventure, travel, boating, skiing, friends all over the country. We RV'd for 25 years. Was that fun? Oh. We went all over the United States. We RV'd down Mexico 3 times, down as far as Guatemala. We had fun. And yet I was God's choice for a pastor. And he brought us here in 1956 when the church was about 75 people, little clapboard church on Main Street. And God began to grow the congregation and use us to reach out to people. And this is a result of what God did. Not for me, it's what God did. I'll tell you, God took a dirty lump of clay with stone and twigs in it. He cleaned it up, he molded it. He remolded it, and here I am today. How did your father mold your life. Do you remember his impact? Have you thought about his influence? Have you thought, thank God for his love and his discipline? Was he perfect? No, he wasn't. But he was irreplaceable. I'll tell you, I still wear my father's ring. 57 years ago, he died. I put that ring on my finger. Why? Because it reminds me of my dad. A man that had such an impact in my life. Let me talk to you about another dad, a father that is much greater than my father or your father, and that's our Heavenly Father and the way he celebrated over the prodigal son. Was I a prodigal? Yeah. But God had a plan. You remember the story, Luke 15, Jesus was telling the story to get the point again across that God, our Father, was a God of love and mercy and forgiveness. This father had two sons. They were both different, very different. The older boy worked hard on dad's farm. He towed the line. He was faithful to God and family. He was a straight arrow. The younger son had a different focus. His focus was on adventure, on having fun, and girls. Girls. Many of you are not old enough to remember girls in the 40s. But girls were different back then. I was fascinated by girls. They were a mystery. Their skirts were always below their knees. They dressed modestly. There was no exposure on the top. Their hair was long and curled. And I mean, I didn't know anything about girls. Well, this kid that Jesus talked about in that family, he was like that. He wanted adventure, he wanted to have fun, and he wanted to get acquainted with girls. One day he came to his father. He said, Dad, I want my share of your estate. And I want it now before you die. Young people today have a vision like that. I want more. I want it now. That's their whole emphasis. Well, the dad knew about this boy. Of course he knew he was a rebel. He knew he was having trouble staying put on the farm. He knew he was self-focused. And he knew he was going down the wrong path. But there comes a time when dads don't have any more influence over the kid. The kid is rebellious. He's going to do his thing regardless. And that's what this kid was doing. Good dads sometimes have rebellious kids. The word says, a few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land, and there he wasted his money in wild living. You know the story. A famine swept that country. He began to starve. He got a job feeding pigs. He looked at their food. He said, these pigs eat better than I do. When he finally came to his senses, if you have a child that goes astray, never give up praying never give up loving them. Because God can come to the rescue. When this kid, the word says, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare. I'm starving. I'm going home. I'll confess my sins, my lustful behavior, my wasting of Dad's estate, and I'll confess my stupidity. And I'll say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please, just let me be one of your servants. If you had a wayward son, daughter, coming back after wasting their life and substance, making that plea, how would you respond? What'd you say? You don't deserve it. I tried everything, but you didn't listen to me. Now you want to come back and you want me to make things well for you. You go out and get a job. Would that be your attitude? I don't think so. I hope not. I think this dad never gave up praying, trusting God, believing for this kid. One day he was looking out the window. He saw somebody coming. He waited, sipped his coffee, looked out again. It's my son! My son. His reaction was, he was overwhelmed with joy. This kid that had been on such a self-focus, spending all his inheritance, doing stupid things, this son was coming back home. And the dad, the word says, his dad was filled with love and compassion. He opened the door. He ran out to the kid. He embraced him. He kissed him. And he welcomed him back home. And the boy said, Dad, Dad, wait a minute. I'm not worthy. Just let me be a servant. Dad said, this son of mine was dead and has returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let us begin the party. And they had a great celebration. Can you imagine that? The kid coming back, thinking, well, maybe I can get enough to eat. Dad killed the fatted calf, brought a robe to put on him, put his ring on his finger, and said, this, my son who was lost, is back. We're celebrating. How did that go with the older son? Not too well. He said, yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the fatted calf. The father said, look, dear son, you have always stayed by me, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So let the party begin. This is just a picture of something much greater. We're celebrating Father's Day, and I commend all you fathers and fathers-to-be. But we have one Father that is way beyond any of us. That's our Heavenly Father, who Jesus portrayed as this loving, embracing, forgiving Father to the prodigal son. We have a Father that we can confess, we can be honest with, we can trust. His love never fails. It doesn't matter what you've done or who you are or what you've been, God's love will cover you. If, in fact, you come back, you can come to him and say, Father, you know me. Help me. Forgive me. I'm here. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for this story. Story of the prodigal. Story of a father that loved in spite of all of the negatives. And most of us, probably all of us, have failed. One time or another, many times perhaps. But our Father in heaven welcomes us back. And when we say, forgive me, he says, come in. Here's a cloak, here's a ring. We're going to celebrate. You've been lost, but now you are found. And I pray for every man that is here this morning. Most of them know you. I pray that you will strengthen them in their ministry to their family, to their kids. I pray that you'll give them a burden to pray for them, to believe for them. And if there are fathers, men here this morning that are unsure whether they really believe and belong to the family of God, I pray that they will open their heart and realize that our God, our Father in heaven, is a merciful, loving God and is reaching out to them this very morning. Let them come to you, discover the abundant life that you have for them. Bless them. Bless all our fathers this morning. Thank you for Tom, Brother Tom, Father Tom. Bless him for his ministry here, for his wonderful love for this congregation. We commit all to you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.